This is episode 6 of The Living Reminders with Mary and Blake.
2% doesn't sound like much. But 2% of the entire planet, of every person on it, that's more than the world's 10 largest cities combined. It's 140 million people. And like that, they were gone.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Living Reminders. It's a podcast dedicated to the show The Leftovers on HBO. We're still here and so are you. So let's talk about Gladys. Suddenly I'm hidden. It's the darkness of the dawn. And your friends are gone. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And I say fuck too. How great was that line?
That line was amazing. I said it a lot last episode.
Yeah, you did. We actually have listeners wanting you to actually say the word fuck. We actually got a tweet.
What?
From @FrankStickler. He says, best line of the week. I say fuck too. And can Mary say fuck this week on the podcast again?
Oh, Frank. I usually am such like a clean-mouthed individual. I really am.
You're but so wholesome.
I try to be. I try to be. Frank, if you haven't seen a picture of me, I'm literally like the girl next door. I'm tall, brown hair, lots of freckles.
Typical Irish Catholic girl, you know?
Who's a huge Harry Potter nerd.
You're a wizard, Harry.
But just for you, Frank... fuck. I feel so naughty. Oh my God. Okay.
Oh my God.
Now that we did that and totally lost any new listeners, so terribly sorry. Anyway, Blake, what did you think about this episode?
I really liked this episode. And I know on Twitter, we had put that this was the second best episode so far, only second to the Reverend Nat episode. And I've been battling back and forth with that all day as we were preparing to record, and I was trying to decide what I really liked about it, and I think I actually might like this one a little bit better.
Ooh, why?
Well, it took everything that the show built upon and the mythology, and actually it's pushing it forward, you know, going forward. So it's giving us that conflict that I was talking about. There needs to be something between the GR and the town that need to push the show forward. It can't just always be about, oh, my life is screwed up, I have all this angst, and these people disappeared, and how awful is our lives. It can't always be that. It could be a good character study for a little bit, but it needs to go forward on unto itself. And I think it's done that. In the first 4 episodes, it built its world. In the 5th one, it took that world and transported it into the future. What do you think?
At least, I mean, this episode just made me sad because I no longer get to see Mom Haircut anymore.
Ugh, Mom Haircut.
Who we now know is named Gladys, which is a perfect name, but I'm going to be sad that I don't get to refer to her as Mom Haircut
anymore. I'm always going to call her Mom Haircut from now on.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, that is her code name. It was a good episode. I was really nervous. I even covered my eyes a little bit. I mean, it was definitely an episode that you watched. You were, you know, sitting on the edge of your seat. And then you're thinking about it for at least the day after because you're thinking, what the heck did I just see?
Mm-hmm.
Who were the people in black? We'll get to that anyway. But before we jump into, what did we miss from last week that we have to catch up on?
All right. So what I want to talk about first is Jill. Jill is suffering from something that we call Kim Bauer syndrome.
Kim Bauer from 24.
24, exactly.
Okay. Oh, God. That means what?
She's annoying as hell. And you know who also suffers from this disease?
The girl in The Americans.
No. The girl from Homeland, Dana.
Oh, Dana. Okay,
Dana,
so basically
Brody. Any
emo-ish teenage yeah. girl.
Basically any teenage girl in any show.
Unless it's a comedy.
They just suck. And I'm sorry, Kim Bauer sucked. Dana Brody sucks. And now Jill Garvey, she kind of sucks.
You know why? Because most teenage girls are like this. You know, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, God, she is. She's another teenage girl that I just hate. I hate her plot line. Stop whining. Stop being annoying. And that's every teenage girl pretty much. I mean, there are some exceptions, but we all went through these moody times. Oh, my boyfriend didn't like me. Oh, half the world disappeared. My mom's in the GR. Shut up. No, I get it. At least Jill has relevant and real reasons to be a little messed up, though.
Well, yeah, but you know, she's like being so shitty with her dad with the whole baby stealing thing, and then he goes up to her and saying, you know, hey, it's complicated between your mom and I, and she's like, yeah, let me know when it gets simple. Now, we didn't really talk about that last episode. I don't know why we kind of skipped over it. It was an important part of that episode. I didn't feel like it like dictated the mood of that episode, but it's nonetheless important. And I just want to let you know that she has Kim Bauer syndrome and or slash Dana Brody syndrome. The next thing was actually brought up in, by our friends in the Guilty Remnant podcast. I listened to their show. It was very smart, very good. And they brought up the conversation that Kevin had with Lori when he was screaming at her, "Hey, you tell me that you want to divorce me. You tell me this. Don't let her do it." And what they said was that he wanted her to forsake her new vows with the Guilty Remnant, saying, trying to make her talk. And if he could make her talk and say, "Yes, I want to divorce you," that means those new vows that she had made to the Guilty Remnant weren't as important as her old vows. So it'd be kind of like a victory for him. And I wanted to congratulate the guys at the GR podcast for that really good insight, because I wasn't thinking about it like that at the time. And it was very smart and it was very applicable. So touche, guys.
Let's play Figure Out That Title.
I actually understand this week's
title. Wow, what a surprise.
It was named Gladys because Mom Hare's name is Gladys. And we learned that in this episode. So Mom Hare, rest in peace. You are now Gladys. And Gladys was the name of the episode.
But you'll always be Mom Hare cutting to
truly.
Us.
Truly.
It's time to reheat the leftovers.
All right, there was a lot that went on. Let's just talk about the obvious. Poor Mom Hare, who's a bitch. Okay,
a total bitch.
Like, I kind of had Mom Hare's back, but she was so sneaky breaking into everyone's house. But she did what she was told. When she ignored that old man when he slipped, that was it. I mean, we've seen her get hit with Slurpees. We've seen her get hurt before. But when she ignored that guy, I was like, Mom Hare.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
You're Mom Hare. Like, you're supposed to bend down and help him out. And she just walked right by him. So, you know, when that whole thing happened and she got killed, it was so gruesome. I had to cover my eyes.
Well, let's talk about a couple other things before we move on to that gruesome scene. You had that first initial conversation between Mother Hen, who we know as Patty, and then you have
Mom Hare.
Mom Haircut.
Gladys.
Who is now Gladys.
I like how you called it a conversation, yeah, because it was just a head nod.
Well, it was a head nod, but you could tell that things were going on there. There were some unsaid things. There was some acknowledgement there. Now, I don't want to get into what I think was happening here, because this gets into my sudden theory of the week.
Okay.
So we'll get to that later on. But then we have Mom Haircut and her buddy going throughout the town, painting everything white.
Yeah, what the heck is that? Why are you painting newspaper things white?
Seriously, right? Like, okay, I get why you're painting the church white. No problem. Figure that. I got that.
You know, maybe because there's no point in reading news.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
There we go.
Okay.
Oh, look at me. I'm like in the GR.
Oh, my God.
I am. I'm going to explain everything to you.
So then, but one of the things I noticed, too, was Gladys and her buddy were watching this dude at his house. And the dude was putting out the mail or something. I forget what happened. And I noticed that his line was, "Fuck you, you fucking cunts." And HBO just can't get enough of this word. Because you have the Hound literally every episode referring to somebody as cunts, I'd say at least 3 to 4 times.
In Game of Thrones, for those of you who haven't watched it.
Yeah. So, I don't know about True Blood because that show sucks. And whatever. You know, Veep is good, but I'm not sure if they call anybody cunts in Veep. But I noticed that word a lot now.
You can stop saying that word now.
Yeah, sorry.
Presence, thank you.
Oh, wait, I'm going off the show.
Continue.
So then not helping the old guy. I was like, really? Come on. What are we doing here? Help the old man. It's cold out. It's New York. It's like snowing out. You know how like when it's really cold that you fall, it hurts like extra? Come on. What are we doing? Right? Help that guy out. Why don't you just walk right over him?
You know what? That was karma. That was karma,
Gladys.
That
was wicked karma, dude.
Because you didn't help him out. So she's hanging out with her girlfriend. Girlfriend needs cigarettes or whatever.
Yep.
And she just hangs out in the back. About to smoke a cigarette, gets jumped. People in black. I love that whoever killed her, this is going to sound mean, whoever killed her, though, dressed all in black, and they did not speak.
Great juxtaposition.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have all the white, all the black, but they didn't speak.
How freaky were those lights, by the way? They were all holding the flashlights. It was like super dark out with the dogs and everything.
Oh, you mean when they went to go look for her?
No. With, like, the guys that were killing her. Like, it was like really creepy. Go ahead.
Well, they had to light it all up because they were wearing black. You couldn't see anybody. I think they did that to help us know what was going on. What a brutal, brutal way to die. And mom haircut, you should have fought a little harder. You were just duct taped to a tree with three strips of duct tape, and when you were dead, you leaned over and,
and you broke it.
So you obviously didn't try too hard to break through.
Just your body weight alone.
Broke it. Like, lean forward, Gladys. That's all you needed
to do. And she isn't in the best of shape either. So, like, I feel like she could just lean forward and break that.
No problem. She could have. When she was like, ooh. When she finally talked, what did she say?
Stop. Don't. Oh. Don't kill me.
Sputter. Yeah. Just lean forward. So I didn't like that. They could have at least added like six rows of duct tape.
And I also want to talk about this too, because, okay, the first rock that they threw against the tree, they missed, obviously. And that was kind of scary. It's like, whoa, did I just see that? But then all of a sudden, they were Roger Clemens by that point. They took these rocks and hummed it at this girl's face and didn't miss once. After that.
Well, we don't know. I mean, she was pelleted. It was disgusting.
Did you just say pelleted?
Is that a real thing?
No, pelted.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. I make up words. Whatever. So I just hated watching this scene. And I don't like mom haircut, but I was really turned off by this scene. It was very gruesome. And stoning people to death, that doesn't really happen anymore.
Stoning sucks, right?
Well, like, where?
I wouldn't want to be stoned.
Why?
Depends on what kind of stone.
They could have just cut her neck. They could have hung her. They could have strangled her. Why did they have to stone her?
Now you're getting into good territory here, because it could be a biblical reference again. How many stonings happened in the Bible?
I don't know, a lot.
Yeah, right. So I feel like...
They didn't have guns, though. I mean, I feel like...
They were making a point. These guys chose this method for a reason.
No, I'm saying the people in the Bible didn't have guns.
Oh, okay.
Like, they didn't really have too many options. It was like...
They had, like, arrows.
I don't even know if they had arrows.
They had spears.
Okay, they could either spear or throw rocks. And everybody had rocks. So, but I agree with you. I think that this was definitely a little biblical throwback. Mm-hmm. It probably took place on a Thursday. Throwback Thursday?
TBT.
Hey.
Hashtag.
Okay, so she's dead.
I want to give full props to the makeup department or the special effects department over at the Leftovers. Each rock that hit this lady's face... A new cut appeared, or a new bruise, or whatever, and the camera didn't pan away at all. You saw every single freaking beaten, and you heard it too, like a thump, and then the blood started pouring out. And
I don't even want to know how they figured out how to do that.
Oh, like when the blood was puddling at her feet, but
that looked a little liquidy to me.
Well, when you got that much blood, girlfriend, I feel like that's gonna happen anyway. Apparently, these props department created stones that were safe enough to actually hurl at this woman's face, and the makeup department actually did a really, really good job with each particular cut.
Guys, you did such a great job, I had to cover my eyes.
Like, holy crap, she was like, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I was saying, please stop, just like she was. Holy crap, she spoke.
Yeah.
Okay, if I had to pick who was like the first mate of the guilty remnants, I would have picked Gladys. I feel like she was dynamite. I mean, we find out later that she kind of had a little faltering, but everybody messes up sometimes. I feel like she was Patty's girl. You know, she was Lori's partner before.
She's like the number two.
Yeah. She's the one that is sent to go harass the reverend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I thought it was amazing that she did end up speaking, and you really felt her pain, and then she's dead.
One question. Which was more brutal? The Red Viper scene in Game of Thrones or this scene? Sorry, spoiler alert for those of you who have not seen Game of Thrones. So fast forward like 2 minutes.
You know what? The Red Viper, I think, wins for me because you could tell it was coming.
Yeah.
Mom haircut. Once you saw that first stone gush her head, mm-hmm. you knew. It was disgusting and terrible to watch. It's definitely a close tie.
I would say so. I mean... Oh, God, when the mountain punches the Red Viper and you just see the teeth and you hear the teeth clatter against the ground and you see his thumbs right into his face. Ugh. I don't know. I think you're right. It might be. I may go for mom haircuts death, though, because it's a woman and she's literally getting stoned. Who the hell gets stoned anymore?
I have no idea. Okay, Gladys. People, like, after she dies, they realize she's not coming back, and Patty rounds up the troops in these amazing vans, and I only see these vans around here. We have a lot of Orthodox Jewish families who live near us, and they have those type of vans. And I was like, she must have gotten them at the same place because they have huge families around here. So she drives all of the guilty remnants out. There's the girl who like left her partner. Oh, I went to go get cigarettes and she's gone. They go out. Where did they get all those flashlights? They must have stopped at a Walmart or something on their way because everyone's handing out flashlights. They're going out there. The crazy dogs. I hate those dogs. Let me tell you, Blake wants us to get a dog after this show. No, I'm never getting a dog.
Come on.
Nope, dogs are always around when bad stuff's going down. So they get out there and Lori ends up finding her along with the bald guy.
The bald guy's shooting dogs too, by the way.
Yeah, because those dogs are crazy.
And I was still maintaining that this guy was fake. I really thought this guy was fake. And
we end up finding out that he's not, because when he's called, he's a witness. And that was a huge, huge reveal. Totally blew up my theories that it was actually Kevin.
I think it blew up everybody's theory.
Yeah, and they played that incredibly well, because he's noticed by other people. Mm-hmm. And then you end up finding out that he is allowed to be shooting dogs. He has like a permit or something? He's allowed by animal control. He's like, oh yeah.
He's got like a deal with animal control, yeah.
Whatever. Those dogs freak me out, so I really don't have a big problem with it. So that kind of blew Kevin's mind that bald guy was there. So this whole murder kind of shakes up the whole town.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin has to go and tell Jill at school because he doesn't want her to find out from other people that someone from the GR was killed and he doesn't want to have to worry. Her reaction was unbelievable.
It really was. And I can't believe she immediately went to the thought that it was about her mother. You know what I mean? Like, she thought that her mother was dead. I suppose that's a natural inclination if your dad, who is the chief of police, shows up at your school when you're, first of all, burning her hand with a Bunsen burner. Who the hell does that?
Emo girls.
She's so freaking emo. And you know, this also happens too with the show. A lot of fire references. I mean, there has been a fire reference at least twice per episode so far.
I hate fire. I hate being hot. I hate sweating. I just hate all of that hot stuff.
You know what I noticed too? Everybody on Twitter has been saying that Justin Theroux has a bit of an orange hue to him.
Like a spray tan?
Like a super spray tan.
Oh.
Like he burns on Jersey Shore.
I would disagree. I think his spray tan is beautiful.
I don't know. I noticed this actually for the first time, really, in all earnest. I noticed it when Mother Hen shows up to his door to tell him that Mom Haircut was killed. And she shows the sign that says
one of our... Is it his face or his body?
It's the face.
Oh, then it's the makeup department's fault. That's not the spray tan.
Yeah.
If you want to see if it's a bad spray tan, you look at the shirtless top. And to be honest, good for him for getting a spray tan. I would if I had to be topless.
And a lot of people are saying that he's got the eyeliner.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's eyeliner. I think that's like Richard syndrome from Lost.
He has beautiful eyelashes.
Oh my God. He has better eyelashes than me. I have long, luscious eyelashes, by the way.
You know what? He wears makeup. Like, I think that people who are concerned about this and questioning, like, the truth is he's wearing a ton of makeup. He might be wearing mascara. He might be wearing orange colored foundation and bronzer. He definitely is. So, if you're concerned that he's wearing makeup, he is. Most actors do. Okay, so Jill gets all messed up. He tells her that her mom's okay.
I also really like her reaction here, too, when she finally stops crying and she realizes she wouldn't have cried for me. Yeah, in regards to her mother, she wouldn't have cried for me. It was almost like a waste of her time to keep going forward. Loved it. Thought it was great.
He then finds out at the office with all the cops that some guy in his office like went and told those crazy people with guns. What are they called? Affleck? The Affleck?
Oh, Atfec. No, Affleck.
Yeah, those
Affleck is the insurance company.
So the Affleck people are the ones that went and shot all of Wayne's teenage hussies.
Yes.
And that was so weird. We were like, why is the government shooting hussies? So then, because that's what they are.
That's what they do.
So then this fat guy from the station, he's like, guess what, chief? I called Affleck.
Affleck, not what, Affleck.
Anyway, I called those people. And the chief is like, why the hell did you do that? I don't want them to get involved.
And you know, I don't blame him either. Why would he want these people involved in his town? This is his deal.
I don't know. See, I'm not a cop. I'm kind of like, the more help, the better.
It's a whole jurisdiction thing.
I guess so. But I wouldn't want to have to deal with them. I just want to deal with my people. Just like he said, you know, I want to have a curfew and keep your people off the streets. I don't have enough cops to take care of you. Let Affleck in.
Affleck!
Let them come in. But then, oh gosh, so he's trying to call
Affleck.
He's trying to call the Affleck people the whole time. The guy's not answering his phone. And when he finally gets a hold of him, the Affleck guy's like, buddy, there are cults like this all around the country. And we're finding that when violence against them starts, it goes haywire.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now exterminating these cults.
Yeah.
Do you want us to come and exterminate yours?
Oh, dude. And you know what I noticed too in this particular scene when Kevin eventually gets a hold of him on the phone? When this guy talks, he's talking pretty normally. He's saying, oh, well, that's an automated thing. And, you know, her body is down in Virginia and da da da. But then he starts talking about getting rid of all these people. And his voice just changes like this. Now, is that something that Kevin is hearing? Or is that something that the guy is actually saying?
No, he's serious. He's saying that, I think, because he's changing the tone.
But it was almost like a...
Well, because he can't say it. He can't...
Well, just for the lack of a better term, it sounded like demonic. It just sounded...
Ew.
It sounded different. I watched it twice, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. If you go back and watch this particular scene towards the end of the episode, his voice, like, it'd be like me talking right now, and then all of a sudden, I'm talking like this.
Well, I think if you were to tell me, Mary, do you want me to come and kill like 100 people, you wouldn't be saying it so excited, because the government doesn't want to come out and say they're doing this. Well, they don't want to come out and say, we can come to your town and erase them. You know, they have to be a little serious about it, a little candid.
Under the table.
Yeah. Yep. So that's his under the table
voice. And then, what is that saying about the government then, right? These guys are...
Do you know about the government? Because that's pretty much all I do is under the table stuff.
No, what I'm saying is...
Cue aliens. I mean, the whole theme of this, in my opinion, is that aliens came and the government is covering it up.
No, it's just saying that the government is not wasting any time with any of these cults, any of these occults, any of these people that doesn't fit their mold of what they think should be happening. They're just going there and eradicating everybody without any like repercussions. There's no checks and balances.
No, and that's what they did to Wayne's hussies.
That's what I'm saying. The Wayne hussies were gonna be smoked, and a lot of them were. So that says a lot about the government, and that they just have zero patience for these people. That's gonna come back to bite them. We ain't seen the last of these Affleck people, I'm telling you.
Oh no, this is just the beginning.
This is coming back big time.
And especially because Kevin kept saying, oh, don't worry about it from here on out. They now have their eyes set on Mapleton. Mm-hmm. So that's scary. All right.
You know what I noticed too?
What?
Getting back to the recap, this is the first time you see Meg smoke.
Yeah, Meg's pledge term is almost over. Mm-hmm. You know, she is done with the hazing. She gets to smoke. I think what helped win her over is when she went and like took the pictures.
Yeah, definitely.
That made Patty really excited. I've started to hate Meg.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I love Liv Tyler. I was liking this character, Meg. I liked learning about the inside. But she went from last episode telling Lori, you can keep your cigarette lighter. Because mm-hmm. she basically knows that Lori loves her family.
Yep.
She knows this. She knows how hard it is. She was there with her for the divorce talk. And yet when Kevin comes, she looks him straight in the face and says, you don't have a wife. When he's asking, do you know where my wife is? Because he's nervous.
Yeah.
Someone was just killed and he just wants to make sure she's okay.
Yep.
And she says, you don't have a wife anymore.
She's not your wife anymore.
Oh, that's what, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden, I was like, you know what, Meg? You're on my shit list.
Well, between the smoking and then that particular line, that probably just highlights her transition into becoming one of the members of the GR.
What is a member of the GR?
What do you mean?
What are they? Like, who's in charge? we hear on the radio or the news that there's all these different groups. They go by different names, these cults.
Yeah, we have so far the tally I have is Tomorrow's Family, Heaven's Converts Convent, who was being raided, by the way, by ATVEC in Florida. We found that out when Kevin was getting ready with the shirts and everything.
Yeah.
We found that he had that on the TV and he muted it. So you had that one. Then you have the Wayne cult. And then you have the GR. And then you have the barefoot people. Who
The hippies.
The hippies who like have sex all day and they get back to their roots and they just love each other. Ugh, whatever.
That's the one I would join.
That a girl. I like where you're going. I like where your head's at with that one.
Watch it. Continue.
What I'm saying is there's all these cults, right? It shows the splitting of at least the American people, right? That all these people are having problems with this sudden departure. Everyone's splintered off into these particular groups, and the government wants nothing to do with it. They're just saying, screw it, we're killing everybody.
I wonder if these cults are communicating with one another, or if, for example, if the Guilty Remnant is just the Guilty Remnant and it only takes place in Mapleton, or if there's a bigger office
somewhere. If you remember from the last episode when Tom runs into the two Guilty Remnants and they give him the piece of paper, obviously Tom is elsewhere.
Okay.
So there has to be a much larger office, you know.
It's kind of like the different religions. If say for example Christianity,
yeah,
there are like a bajillion splinted different types of churches that each believe different things.
Sure.
Okay, so my question is, what are the Guilty Remnants like? What exactly is their point? Because Patty, you know, Lori has this panic attack when she comes home, and Patty takes her out for a little R&R. Really nice. Takes her to a motel, Holiday Inn, and Lori takes a bath, she gets to wear some clothes, and then Patty's chatting with her. And it's like, it's okay, talk, eat some food. And Lori's looking at her like, what the heck are you doing? And we find out that it was a test, but I don't understand why. Why would the Guilty Remnant people do this? Why would Patty taunt her like this? Because if my boss told me I would like you to speak, I would do it.
Yeah, well, okay. Patty is a vindictive, freaking planning, just awful woman. She really is. She is just scheming all the time. And she's testing Lori. She's testing her viability. She's testing her pride. She's testing her allegiance to the GR. I think it's because Lori's important for some reason that we have not discovered yet. And she needs Lori for some particular reason.
During this conversation, we find out that Gladys had a little faltering as well. And she took her to the same place, gave her some French toast and maple syrup and bacon, and, you know, took her out because her son had died.
Yeah, the son died in a helicopter crash in Yemen as part of the military.
And that really upset her.
And she said Patty said that Gladys started to feel again. Now, that's a very important line. What do you mean started to feel again? Are you saying that in order to be a member of the GR, you have to be unfeeling?
Well, if so, Meg is failing at unfeeling. Because,
well, so was Lori.
I mean, that's what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
Lori, not Meg.
But I mean, to the larger point, okay, you are not supposed to feel. That means you are not supposed to be human. That means you are supposed to be inhuman, which would then make you something that is other than what God made you.
Do they believe in God?
Yeah, they believe that they are a representation of God's awesome power. They are a representation of his ultimate judgment.
Do they believe that? Why weren't they taken? Why do they think they weren't taken in the sudden departure?
I don't know. What I'm saying is, Patty wants her to not feel. And how can you not feel and still be human? How can you be a living reminder of humanity if you are inhuman? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a much larger aspect. I think that's being overlooked a little bit.
Gosh, I don't like Patty.
Patty sucks.
Yeah. So we end up finding out that it was all a test.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible test. And then Lori gets to go back, and Reverend Matt, bless his heart. Okay, let's just rewind. He wants to pray over Gladys, even though he's a suspect. So precious and cute. I love that he wanted to do that. And then he ends up deciding to hold a little candlelight vigil outside of the Guilty Remnant's house. And Lori comes out And you think he does this beautiful speech saying, I get it. I get that you're passionate about what you believe in, but I also get that you're probably, some of you are sad. And it's okay. I just want to acknowledge that. Yeah. And you see Lori have all these emotions run through her and she runs out and you think she's just going to go hug Reverend Matt or say, thank you, Jesus, or something. But instead she blows a whistle in his face. Why do you think she did that?
Because if you remember, Kevin had brought those whistles to the GR house saying, hey, look, if somebody is trying to harm you, if somebody's trying to do something to you, blow these freaking whistles because that's the only way I'm going to know that you're being harmed.
You know what made me upset, though?
What?
She wasn't there when Kevin brought the whistles.
Yeah, but
how did she, A, get her own whistle, and B, get the little speech? Because as soon as she came home, she passed out, and then Patty took her on a little vacation. They just got back. Was that the first thing that Meg wrote down in her Sharpie
or told her? You know how they have those giant whiteboards all over the place?
Everyone, please take a whistle.
Yeah, I'm sure, because everyone kind of blew Kevin off when he brought the whistles there, right?
Yeah.
And he was pissed off about it. No problem, I get that. But they probably realize, you know what, this guy's probably right. We should probably carry these bad boys around.
Anyway, so she goes out and Lori blows this whistle all up in Matt's face.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of
conviction.
Something.
Like what, she was making
was
a statement.
It? What do you think she was trying to say to him?
It was frustration. It was, get the fuck out of here. We don't need you. We don't believe in you. You are wasting your breath. Get out.
I don't think so.
What is it?
I think she was blowing it because she was feeling, and she is so angry at herself because she's feeling. She looked like she was going to cry, and I bet you she was conflicted. As she's running out there, she probably thought, I'm 50-50.
Yeah.
I could 50% run with him right now and cry about seeing Gladys's dead body and everything I'm going through, and 50% of me wants to be 100% guilty remnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just blowing everything she'd want to say. She hasn't spoken. And she could blow out all that air and everything she wants to say in this loud whistle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
You could see the difficulty that she had in not speaking. Like, she was ready to when she was at that lunch or the breakfast with Mother Hen. When she's going to get, like, pancakes or French toast and eggs and a large glass of orange juice. And she was, like, she wanted to talk, but all of a sudden, it's like she realized she couldn't talk. Imagine that, not speaking for 6 months or 7 months, however long it was.
Ugh.
And then all of a sudden being like, yeah, you can talk. And you can almost see the apprehension in her face, too, when that conversation was going down. It's like, should I talk? Is this woman, like, kind of, like, threatening me after what she was saying about Gladys? Is she, like, being shitty with me? Do I do this? Do I not? I don't really trust her. So yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's going on with Lori. You know, this episode just had so much, but we need to touch upon a couple of things so we don't forget. White shirts, talk to me.
Oh, the white shirts disappearing. Okay, did guilty remnant people go in Kevin's house and steal his shirts?
I mean, white shirts are sometimes hard to come by, and there's so many guilty remnants. They might have already bought them all. I don't think so. I think something creepy is going on, because you know how he keeps playing around with his alarm system too?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who it is. I'm right now blaming the bald guy because he's just weirded me out.
It's just easy to blame everything on Baldy.
Speaking of the
house. His name is Dean, by the way.
Oh, okay. So Dean, we're going to hopefully find out what happened with the shirts. Do you think that the shirts were at the laundromat?
No, I don't. You saw when Kevin went to that guy's laundromat when he was like a little cocked. And was like, hey.
A little?
Yeah.
No, he was wasted.
He was super cocked.
He needs to stop drinking and driving.
He needs to stop going to the Packy and driving. That's what he needs to do. Anyway, he goes to this guy's thing, and you saw the fear of God in this guy's eyes. Like, he knew that this was bad news. But by the way, if I'm that guy, I'm not opening that door. There's no reason why Kevin, even though he's the chief of police, has any right to get into that laundromat. Zero right.
Well, the way you know it really wasn't his is because the guy had to get it from multiple orders.
Exactly. And he was just looking helplessly.
White shirts.
Yeah, white shirts. Okay, yep, white shirts. Boom, 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 boom. So there's no way those are Kevin's shirts.
I can't wait for next episode to see him like an extra small and then an extra large.
I'm sure a lot of women want to see him in an extra small.
Kevin
you know
was
what,
driving
just for,
his car.
Just forego the shirts anyway.
By the way, he was driving his car again. Got that fixed.
Yeah, so he no longer doesn't need the truck anymore.
Another thing I want to touch upon. When the scene's in the kitchen, when he was feeding, God, Jill's slutty friend.
Oh, yeah. She needs to calm down with the 90s, by the way.
Yeah.
This is getting like a little overt.
And when does the sleepover end? Please go home.
I think she lives with them.
She shouldn't.
Well, she does. And she's eating his sandwiches. And she, you know,
she's making him coffee.
What are we doing?
But here? When they're in the kitchen was all beaten up. You saw the stainless steel refrigerator.
Correct.
With all these dings in it. And then you saw the cupboards with all these scratches. So when the deer supposedly messed up his house or whatever.
I'm thinking it was Kevin happened. That actually did that. I'm thinking Kevin showed up to his house, cocked again, and just screwed up his kitchen because he was so frustrated
Probably.
By the dogs and Lori and all that other stuff.
Lord knows.
And he saw the cabinets all screwed up and everything. But this girl, Amy, whoa. Dude, you're 16. Time out. And then why is Kevin not fixing his kitchen? It's been at least like 2 months.
Because he doesn't have time. He's dealing with all this stuff. And he doesn't care about appearances.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? One thing we forgot. When Lori was at the hospital, you saw her, like the person that was next to her.
Yeah.
You saw feet.
That was so weird. I hate feet.
Okay, that's coming back. I guarantee it. Lindelof does not put that kind of thing in there and make that big of a... statement about somebody next to Lori with the feet and everything
they
moving up and down.
It was a compound fracture. Those things hurt.
Oh, God, dude. That means that's when
the bone comes out of the skin,
right?
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, dude, guy, I feel so bad for you. I can see why your feet are moving up and down. But yeah, that's coming back.
Is there anything else in this episode that you really feel like you need to talk about? Because I feel like we need to talk about the Affleck quarters, where they just have dead bodies everywhere, and they're bringing them in by the cratefuls, and they're taking pictures of them, and they're putting stickers on them, on the boxes.
Oh, yes. One was green, and one was red.
Christmas.
Not Christmas. I think green meant that they had somebody that they had to be reported back to. Like, they have to give the body back to whoever... claims the body of a family member, a husband, wife, uncle, friend, whatever. Somebody claims that body. The body has to go back to where it was supposed to go to. Red, however, means that a picture is taken of this person because you notice that they were taking pictures of everybody. They took one of mom haircut and then they get cremated because there's no one to go back to. And as a GR member, you don't have family. You've forsaken them.
Oh my gosh, I totally interpreted it as a different way.
Okay.
I interpreted it as if they could tell if someone committed suicide or if they did it themselves, like if they were murdered. I was trying to see, could they easily see if it was a hate crime against them or if they did self-inflicted? Because I'm wondering if some of these cults are doing some suicide stuff.
Oh, I'm sure that they are. But if on the green sticker, you notice that it does say the word notify.
Oh, I don't have good eyesight.
Well, that's why you got me, girlfriend.
Never mind.
I also want to talk about the town vote that they had about
the
curfew.
Oh, the town council.
Yes.
That was great.
Okay, so now we got Baldy there, right? And you're thinking that Baldy's probably going to back up Kevin because they're kind of buddies, right? They love to shoot dogs together.
Yeah.
So Kevin proposes this curfew. First of all, the fucking mayor throws him way under the bus. She's like, oh, yeah, Chief Garvey has brought this to everyone's attention. And we want the curfew. He wants the curfew to be at 8 p.m.
I don't think she really threw him under the bus.
Oh, she totally did.
He was late. And she was probably distracting everyone all this time. He rolls in late. And she does make a point to say, I 100% back the chief's decision.
I agree. But she probably knew that curfew was going to be turned down, right? So that means the ultimate blame is going to be laid upon Chief Garvey for even bringing this up. It's like, Chief Garvey brought this to the table.
But he did.
I know, I agree, but she didn't have to say that.
She
threw him way under the bus. And if you looked at his reaction...
He wasn't ready for that, I agree. But on the other hand...
And he was like, hey, whoa, come on. This is something that we all agreed to here. It shouldn't matter who it came from. The town council is bringing this up. And of course, you have Baldy sitting there saying, hey, it ain't fair. Why the hell do we have to be in our houses when it's the GR who are getting hurt? More importantly... What's to say that they're not even doing it to each other? We don't know who was there.
Doing what to each other?
Killing each other.
Ew.
Right?
Gross. Baldy. I know. Baldy.
So
Baldy's
that's coming back too.
Guy. Yeah.
Hold on. We gotta talk about this too. The doggy bag with
Neil.
Okay. First of all, what is in that bag? And who is Neil? Do you think it's like the husband?
I thought it was going to be a bag of poop. And she was going to light it on fire.
Hey, another fire reference.
There you go.
Mother Hen's got some issues.
What was she saying in the restaurant about their last session she had had with Lori? Do you remember our last session?
No, she was saying
about?
That the first time we talked to each other, the first thing that you brought up to me was something about this. And she was writing furiously on the bag. And it was of Neil. And she had written on the bag. And she put something in the bag. And obviously, and she throws it down on the doorstep of wherever they go to. The last thing that I want to talk about is the scene when Kevin is talking to Jill about Lori and that they're getting a divorce. And she says, it's okay. It's not your fault. And you can just see that weight come right off of his shoulders. You see him just kind of deflate. And he says, I love you. And she says, I love you too. And then he just starts crying. You know, and it was the first time you see him not be like brooding, you know, all the time. He's not like wearing the Ray-Bans and drinking Yinglings like he normally does and getting shit-faced in his car watching people. He's sitting in his bed alone crying. I mean, like, how freaking lonesome is that, right?
Breaks your heart. And it also makes you kind of want to go in there and snuggle him to cheer him up a little bit.
Okay. I know how excited you were when you saw him coming out of the shower, glistening.
Spray tan and all.
Calm down. Calm down. Also, the one other thing I do want to talk about, too. When Kevin and Matt are driving to go to the morgue to go to check out...
Can we call him Reverend Matt? Because yeah. It helps me.
Sorry, okay. Reverend Matt. When they're going to the morgue to check out Mom Haircut, they're driving, and Kevin is driving, and he's talking with Matt, and all of a sudden, the light turns abruptly red.
And it's the longest red light ever for no cars.
I know, but this happens again, right?
What do you mean?
Well, it happened in the third episode with the Reverend Matt's episode. Remember when he was about to turn around and then he hit the red light? It was a blinking red light with the three birds. And then he decides, hey, I'm going to the casino.
Okay.
Same thing. He stops abruptly. There's a red light and Matt's in the car with Kevin. Is this like a recurring thing with Matt, Reverend Matt? Is there something...
But red lights?
Yeah, red lights, right? He keeps seeing these red lights, and he has these epiphanies almost of where to go and what to do. And by epiphany, I mean this. He talks to Kevin, and he tells him a part of the Book of Thomas, which, of course, is actually not in the Bible, by the way. It's part of the Gnostic...
the extended edition, the canon.
Yeah, no, it's not even... It's not part of the canon. It's like the expanded universe.
The Book of Mormon?
Hello. My name is Elder Price, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book.
He quotes the Book of Thomas, and he says, if I tell you one of the words which he said to me, speaking about Jesus... You will take up stones and throw them at me, and a fire will come out of the stones and burn you up.
Oh my God, that's what happened to Gladys.
Exactly. And then if you remember, Mother Hen was telling Patty. Lori, doubt is a fire that will burn you into ash.
Oh my God, I hate fire so much. Stop it, Damon Lindelof. Okay, we get it. You love fire. He's probably a pyro.
I know.
So what does this mean?
So what I'm saying is there's all this symbolism that keeps happening with these stones and fire. And it's not a coincidence that Gladys ended up getting burned into ash. She got cremated. That she had this particular doubt at the end. Somehow, some way, she had this particular doubt. Who knows? But it gave Kevin clarity a little bit on the situation when, you know, if... Jesus is supposed to speak the truth, capital T, truth. What is the truth, right? What is the truth that Jesus or God wants to give people?
In this series?
Or just in general.
You're getting really deep.
I'm getting wicked meta about this. I'm sorry. And are people ready to hear that? And apparently, according to Thomas, they're not. Because they would kill anybody that actually spoke the truth. So is the guilty remnant speaking truth, or is Matt speaking truth? These are big ideas here. I know, and if I'm losing you, I'm sorry, but these are big ideas that the writers are just putting in front of us. It needs to be spoken about. Someone much smarter than me. Who knows?
I'm not smarter than you, so I don't know. I'm just going to watch and see what happens next. All this stuff is a little above my head because I don't have all of this historical biblical knowledge, and I'm just still grossed out that her head was smashed in. God. I kind of had like a little nightmare about it. I'm not going to lie, because you watch it so late. You know, it's 10 to 11.
Yeah.
And then I had to go to bed and get ready for the next day, and I'm laying there, and all I kept seeing was her head being hit.
I
had to listen to some weird meditation track on my iPhone to make me go to sleep. I just kept seeing that head. Ew.
Hey, how about more screwed up dogs, by the way?
I'm all set.
You're done?
Yeah. Dogs, no. We don't need to talk about the dogs because we get that they're messed up. They were barking at Kevin when he was in his car.
All right, how about the guy that said to Kevin when he woke up in the car, hey, don't investigate too hard about who killed Mom Haircut.
I feel like that's something you would have said to the cop.
I definitely would have.
You would have literally been walking your dogs. If you hated the GI, you would have been like, hey, officer, don't investigate too hard, okay?
Thank you for mimicking me. That was pretty good.
How's your Dunkin' Donuts?
What I'm saying is this. Is that him just being friendly? Like, hey, man, come on, don't investigate that too hard. Like, who cares about these people? Or is that a threat? Like, hey, don't investigate too hard.
Oh, no. I think he was just shooting the shit. Like, listen, man, I don't even like those people. Don't waste your time. You're fine.
All right, let's get into listener feedback.
Okay.
All right, our first email comes from Chiquita. I like that name, by the way.
It's like the bananas.
She actually told me how to pronounce it. She said it's like Chiquita the Bananas.
Oh, my God. I love that. Nice name.
She actually gave us a larger email. I'm going to share the last portion of it. She maintains that Matt and Lori had a relationship. And she's like, come on. He did something to her. Unless she cares about him too much. So she blew that whistle for him to go away so that he'd be out of danger. What do you think?
Maybe he was her reverend. And maybe that was their relationship, and she was able to confide in him. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, but she's saying that like they banged.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, you don't think so?
No, I'm still trying to figure out who Kevin was banging though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on Twitter we have
John K. Buckner.
John K. Bucher or Bucker? I don't know.
I don't know.
He says he's going to check out our podcast, but he said he actually writes for the WatchingTheLeftovers.com. Which is this big, we actually tweeted this out earlier. They have all these articles about the Leftovers.
Butcher?
It might be Butcher. And I just wanted to promote this guy because his articles were really, really cool. And he also has a blog at johnbutcher.org. He's a very smart guy. Read his articles at watchingtheleftovers.com.
And I'm really sad, John, that I don't know how to pronounce your name. So please tweet us and let us know so that we can properly say your name. Connie Heimer tweeted, I don't have good feelings about the guilty remnant, but no one deserves that. And what's up with her hasty cremation?
What?
Connie, nobody was there for her. She didn't. Her son was dead. Nobody else cared. So they didn't really have anywhere to put her body. So the hasty cremation, I think that's the only thing it could do. And no one deserves that. Right there with you, girl. That was nasty.
At anime fan 77, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with this guy. He said that the show sucks, which is fine. I can appreciate that. No problem. I said, okay, well, what don't you like about it? He says, well, even if the event, meaning the departure, was unexplainable, which is, of course, lazy writers, as long as it didn't happen again, people would get the fuck over it. It happened 3 years ago. Okay, really?
Come on. So he's saying people would get over the fact that 2% of the world just disappeared?
Yeah.
They'd forget about it?
And they would just be like, oh, yeah, no problem. We'll just get over it.
Okay, well, you might forget. I wouldn't forget.
Yeah, anime fan 77, bro, I respect your opinion, truthfully. All the love in the world, you're your own man, no problem. But just to say that the event is unexplainable, it's due to lazy writers, that's irresponsible. That's disingenuous. It's not lazy writers. It's not important to the show. What's important to the show is the reaction to the sudden departure. It's not lazy writing.
Hunter Ingram says that every scene in this episode was so taut, and invasive, which makes for unnerving but highly enthralling moments. I completely agree, Hunter.
Loved this portion because you even said it yourself. It was sticking with you, with her getting beat up. It's really invasive. Great description. Erin Renee says it was brutal, meaning the beating, but it's HBO, so it's not shocking. Something was bound to happen, but it was one of her favorite episodes so far. And I agree with you, Erin. After that Game of Thrones episode with the mountain and the Red Viper, and even the Red Wedding and the Purple Wedding, yeah, this was... Whew, you come to expect that stuff from them.
What did Caitlin tweet us?
Oh, Caitlin, as always, I can always rely on this girl. She said, number one, Justin Theroux in a towel.
What is number one? Like the highlight of the show?
Oh,
It is number one.
Yeah, it always is. And number two, Mother Hen is easily the show's most enigmatic sociopath.
Wow, I don't even know that word, enigmatic.
Enigmatic.
Yep, that's what I said.
Exactly.
Booby trap. Michael Cassidy tells us that the stoning scene was incredible. I don't think I've ever felt that bad for a TV character before.
I agree with you, Michael. I think they did that for that very reason. You actually had to care about the Guilty Remnant for this episode. You needed to care about what happens between Laurie and Patty. And you weren't going to care about it if you didn't have this particular scene with Mom Haircut. You wouldn't feel bad for them. You wouldn't feel their fear. You wouldn't feel their issues that they're dealing with, they're grasping about. And that was the beauty of this particular scene. At LB Cause says that she's going to be a member of the Guilty Remnant for Halloween this year. Thank you to Ann Dowd, who is Patty, for the inspiration.
Oh my God, that's such a great idea.
Girlfriend, you and everybody else, that's an awesome idea.
Blake is going to be the man in the yellow hat, and our son is going to be Curious George. I don't know what I'm going to be yet. Maybe I'll be a Guilty Remnant. I'll be cool.
We got a voicemail too, so Missy, take it away.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Missy. You know me as Eggs Erroneous. I was just calling with my theory about Mystery Body with the chin and that. I believe that if he isn't married to, what's her name, Mother Hen, he was imaginary, but maybe he is real. And as far as Gladys, did she deserve the stoning? I don't know. She was kind of mean to that poor old man who fell on the side of the street with his groceries and just walked right over him. So I don't know that anybody deserves it, but I wouldn't say that the people of Mapleton would believe me. But anyway, I hope y'all guys have a good day, and thanks for keeping up with the podcast. We love you. Bye.
Missy, you love us?
Thank you so much. We love you, too.
Oh, my God. That was... Where did she say she was from?
She didn't, but she's obviously Southern.
Oh, and we're obviously from...
Our Southern Belle.
Oh, my God. I feel like I just love Southern accents. I hope that our accents aren't abrasive to you.
I know. Sorry about that.
We definitely have some.
But, girlfriend, I think you're 100% right about the Mom Haircut. Maybe she didn't deserve what she got, but, man, that was pretty close. She caught a beating. And, yes, Dean is finally real. That's just...
Mind blown. Mind blown right there.
I know, right? Can't believe it. All right, let's get to the...
No, I'm not going to lie. Part of me was still like, maybe. Maybe it was Kevin. Maybe Kevin was...
Just give up on your sudden theory of the week. Just give it up.
It's done.
It's done. It's cooked. Put a fork in it. It's over.
Left over.
All right, tweet of the week.
Okay, so our tweet of the week comes from Marcelo, whose Twitter handle is CreekFanatic88. He tweeted us that he is starting to care more about the people than the mystery. Congrats, Damon Lindelof. You got me hooked line and sinker. Marcelo, I completely agree with you. I'm someone who has been so caught up on why did everyone suddenly disappear? But you're right. We are now turning the corner and we're caring more about the people. Awesome, awesome tweet. And congrats for being the tweet of the week.
All right, kid, what do you say we get into the sudden theory of the week?
You got it.
All right, Marvin, what do you got for your sudden theory?
I don't have anything too deep. I wish I did. This episode just really haunted me a lot. Mm-hmm. And how many episodes are left? Three?
No, we got five. We're halfway.
Oh, we're only halfway through.
Yep.
Gosh, I'm still waiting for that character that I'm going to love that's going to make me laugh. And my new sudden theory of the week is I don't think I'm going to get that character next week. I think that next week is going to be a ton of repercussions from everything that's happening. I think the town is going to start to go crazy. And I think Affleck is going
to
fly in that magical duck. And
Affleck.
Yep. I think we're going to see this Affleck guy. That's my sudden theory of the week. Not too deep, I know, but I just still have to get the image of her being stoned out of my head.
All right, you know what I got?
Give it to me.
Bear with me on this one, okay?
Rawr.
I know, bear with me.
Get it? That's a bear?
That was not a bear.
What was it?
That was like
a tiger?
A really lame tiger.
Okay, anyway, I'm bearing with you.
Okay, so I mentioned earlier that my sudden theory of the week was going to be about the conversation between mom haircut and mother hen.
A.K.A. Gladys and Patty, which is, that's the first scene of the show, correct?
First scene of the show. And you see them speaking to each other and like, they're not speaking, but there's unsaid words. Like there's a conversation happening there, right?
There were probably Sharpie markers exchanged earlier, but then there was, we just got to see the tail end of the conversation.
There's an acknowledgement there. Something's going on, right? Now, everybody's sitting there saying, Patty knew she planned this out. She knew that she was going to have Gladys die. My theory of the week is that Gladys did not know. My theory of the week is that Gladys thought that when she was going out with her buddy to the gas station, that her buddy was going to die. And that Patty contracted these guys, or maybe she was there herself, and had them capture Gladys without her knowledge. That's why when she was taken, she was kind of thrown back by it. And she's like, please stop. Don't. Because if she was going to be a martyr, she would welcome that. No problem.
I don't know. I feel like even if she was going to be a martyr, that really hurt. And she was probably like, you know what? This sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. But you've seen this. She was ready to get slurpied. And she was...
Let me finish.
She was being slurpied. She was being tested. She was being tested by Patty earlier by going to that restaurant. She already made note of that. But she stayed committed. Right? But Patty knows that she needs something to happen. She needs something to happen for the GR to solidify them. And she knows, in my opinion, that she needs Lori. She needs Lori scared. She needs Lori back into the GR. She sees that, she probably knows that Lori's going to Kevin's house. She probably knows about the lighter. She probably knows about all that stuff, and she needs Lori on her side. She needs to solidify that. How best to do that than to rally the troops around somebody who's going to die? But you can't tell that person that they're going to die because maybe they won't do it. Maybe the best part about it was that Gladys wasn't supposed to know. What I see, what I'm saying this here is this. Gladys, you said earlier that Gladys was number two, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting a total Darth Vader Emperor feeling out of this. The Emperor is always looking for that replacement, for that second Sith, constantly. And she, maybe Patty realized that Gladys, she ain't cutting it, man. I got to get rid of her. But I can't tell her I got to get rid of her. I'm going to tell her that her buddy's going to die, that she's just going to make sure that it happens. Gladys will bring the buddy there, thinking that she's completing her mission. But she doesn't know that she is the mission. She is going to die, all to suit Patty's plans. And then I'll take Lori, I'll make her my number two, and then we'll solidify the whole GR.
Well, now we'll never know because the GR doesn't talk.
I know. You know what I also get to? I get a huge Ben Linus feeling out of this. Because Ben Linus is always a step ahead, right?
Ben Linus from Lost.
From Lost, yeah. Ben Linus was always a step ahead. He was always way smarter than everybody else until the very end, obviously. So what I'm saying is she probably knew that Atfek would come. She probably knew that Kevin would... have a problem, that his people would screw up the investigation. She probably knew that the body would get taken care of because there's nobody to claim her, to claim Gladys. So the body is going to get
burned.
She knew all of this stuff. And you could see it too. She's vindictive. She plans this out. She planned it with Kevin. When Kevin thought he was playing her, she was playing him the whole time.
And people were breaking into those houses.
This is total Patty movement.
Oh,
she is the one who planned this.
I totally think she left a bag of shit on that guy's doorstep now. She is totally vindictive. Nice theory.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, Gladys didn't know. She thought that she was going to get her buddy dead, but it wasn't. That's why you see that acknowledgement, and that's why she gave up at the end, because, hey, and then the doubt thing, right? When doubt is a fire that will burn you to ash. Patty must see this woman with doubt. She must see something.
hold on to your butts, Lori, because you've been doubtful as well.
I know. So
but I think she's important because she's married to the chief.
Exactly. So she probably needs Kevin somehow. She either needs Kevin's protection or she needs something from Kevin. That's why she's focusing in on Lori. And that's why she needs her. She needs to rally the troops around Gladys's death.
Gosh, man, there are just so many elements of this show.
We
still don't even know who stole Kevin's shirt. Gosh.
I think I got a feeling I'm going to figure that out too.
Well, I would love, that's what I want. I want someone on Twitter to tweet us who they think took his shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they were taken at all. Dun, dun, dun.
Please hang up and try again.
All right, kids. So what do you think? You want to close out the show?
You bet. You can find us on our website. It is thelivingreminders.com. Maybe you can see a picture of me with my freckles. Get to know us a little bit better, you know? We also have our hotline there on the website. So if you would like to leave a voicemail listener feedback, we'd love to hear, A, more people with accents who don't sound like us, but B, just to hear you and interact with you. It's so great. So check us out, thelivingreminders.com.
Call us at 503-454-6730. And don't worry, it goes straight to voicemail. Just want to get that message out there, too. You can also get us on Facebook at facebook.com/livingreminders.
Join the conversation on Twitter with all of our Twitter friends. You will find us there. Our username is Living Reminders.
Email. I love email. Email is the best. So get us at livingreminders@gmail.com.
And most importantly, this is now episode 6. So if you've been listening to us, if you like this, if you tweet with us, please, please, please take a moment to head on over to iTunes and rate and review this show. We want more people to join the conversation about The Leftovers because I sure as hell don't know what's going on. And I want more people to join in this conversation and leave us some good listener feedback. Who stole Kevin's shirt? Who was the one responsible for Gladys' death? I don't know. You might know. Let's get your friends in on this. So rate and review us on iTunes, everybody. One review that we wanted to read out loud to you guys is by Sarah in SLC. And Sarah, I don't know what SLC means. So you need to send this a little tweet to let us know. She said that she found our podcast from Twitter after having a fun discussion with us there. She listened to the podcast. She actually listened to 4 episodes in just a few days to catch up.
Ooh, yeah, girl.
She thought the discussion was lively, with the banter between the married duo to do a little comedic relief at some times. Mm-hmm. I like that. She's really enjoyed the theories that we come up with and about what might happen in episode. She feels like she's in the room talking with us herself. Not many podcasts do that. She's really excited about The Leftovers show and now looks forward to hearing this podcast soon after to see what theories match up with hers. Sarah, thanks so much for listening. And for those of you who haven't yet rated and reviewed us, please do it. Who knows?
That'd be awesome. Hey, and if you can't get enough of just Mary and Blake, you can always get us on our other podcast, ParentCast.
It's ParentCastPodcast.com. If you have a kid, a toddler, a baby, or pregnant, check it out. We talk about some crazy stuff. A lot about poop.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Bye.